Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Marriage and More Podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your hosts,
Sterling
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage,
and a whole lot more.
And we want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule today, or if you're listening to the replay, for taking time out to tune in and hear what we have to say here on Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta. So, Mr. Smith, what's been going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just recovering from spring break and keeping it moving on with life.
Yeah, spring break, we did some traveling, unfortunately, for funeral services. My uncle passed away, but even though it was for a sad occasion, got a chance to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in, my God, some folks 30 plus years, family, friends. It was just good to be at home and to hang out with the family. What you think?
Yeah, it was good. I'm like, even though I didn't know a lot of the people, it was good just seeing my wife happy to be around some of her lifelong friends and her family.
Yeah. He had a great homegoing celebration. And rest in peace, Uncle Ronnie Mack. He was a real OG. They don't make him like that anymore. And so, we're back. Spring break's over. The Masters over.
Yes, we got our town back.
Yeah, Tiger came. He didn't win, but I think people were just glad to see him out on the golf course after his car accident and the very extensive injuries that he sustained. So to see him up and walking and playing golf, it was exciting.
Yes, the public was just happy to see him. Everybody was curious about how was he going to be and how had he recovered from the terrible car accident that he was in.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere where he was saying that, you know, the people were saying how great it was to see him, and he was saying that the love that he felt, you know, from the crowd, how motivating and inspiring that was for him, just as much as the people were saying to see him, how it uplifted them. But he was just saying to hear the energy and the love, how much that really uplifted him. So, yeah, Tiger Woods, we'll continue to keep him in our prayers, and hopefully he'll be back next year, 2023.
Yeah, that's his life. Golf is his life. Golf is his thing. And the people here, the people at the Masters, they love him. It's like he is on, you got the golfers, and then you have Tiger Woods.
Absolutely. Want to give a shout out to our family, our radio family there, Bashani Radio in New York. This week we heard about the shooting in the subway, and so we're praying for our Bashani family, thankfully. None of them were involved and everything's okay. So let's remember to keep New York City in prayer. We just had to pray. These are some praying times. There's so much going on all over the world, not just in America, but all over the world. And so I don't think you can ever pray too much or say too many prayers. And I believe in the power of prayer.
Yep. You summed it up well. You have to believe in the power of prayer. And like you said, keep praying. Pray always.
That's what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. So we've got an interesting show today. But before we get into that, we always have to give our disclaimer that we are not licensed therapists.
No, we're not.
We are not licensed clinicians.
Nope.
Or practitioners.
Definitely not.
And that's probably all the same thing, but I make sure I'm clear and specific. But we've been married for almost 30 years. And I think experience sometimes is the best teacher, the greatest teacher. And so we have some life experiences being married that we thought we would just share with people and kind of be open and honest and transparent about, you know, how we dealt with some situations in hopes to help couples know that they can have a happy, successful, long-lasting marriage.
Yes. Like she said, just sharing our thoughts. And hopefully someone will take something from what we say and apply it to their marriage and keep moving forward in a positive way with it.
So today what we're going to be talking about is, should couples have separate bank accounts? Should couples have separate bank accounts? And, you know, I thought about this because I can remember growing up, you know how you sit around, or maybe you didn't, but as a young girl, you sit around and you listen to the older people and the older ladies, and sometimes they talk about different things. And, you know, I always remember hearing them giving advice to younger women saying, you know, you make sure you have your own bank account now. Keep your little secret bank account on the side and don't tell them about it. And that was the advice that I would hear them giving. And even being married and getting married, I often heard women say that same thing about, as a married woman, you know, you should have a separate bank account, one that your husband doesn't know anything about, one that you know, you take and you keep money in, all planning for the marriage to derail. So what are your thoughts about that?
Separate accounts, it really doesn't make sense to me, because if you marry to become one, everything should be seen as one. One bank account, one financial pot, and you live from that.
I agree. So I think for me, the motive behind why you want to have a separate bank account is the deciding and determining factor. I think in marriage, you know, number one, there shouldn't be any secrets. You shouldn't have secrets from one another.
No.
So having a secret bank account, for me, that's already a no-go. The fact that it's a secret is already troubling.
Yes, I mean, you're summing up. It's very troubling. I mean, what are you trying to hide?
Right. So, and then taking money from your spouse or from an account that you are on with your spouse and putting it into another account that he knows nothing or she knows nothing about. Again, that's deceptive. It's not being truthful. It's I would say it's stealing. You're stealing from your spouse.
You're also stealing from the happiness of your marriage if you're doing something like that.
Absolutely. Because now, you know, if your spouse should find out about it, now you have created a trust issue in one of the three areas, because we know that finances and sex are the top two areas that cause the most problems in a marriage. And so, you know, we're just speaking from what we've experienced. And again, like I said, I believe that it goes back to the motive of why you want to have a separate account. I don't think it should be just in case this don't work, you know, and he dips out, you know, I have something to fall back on. Or just in case, you know, this doesn't work and she dips out, I have something to fall back on. It's kind of like you're planning.
There you go. It seems like
planning to fail, planning for the marriage to fail, planning for.
Even though you made all these, to each other, lifelong love, but you're already looking for failure from the very beginning onset of your marriage. Like, hey, I got to start saving money in case we fail. If you're looking for failure, you're going to fail. You're going to find it.
Yeah, because I believe life and death is in the power of our tongue. I believe that the words we speak, when we speak them, we give life to them, whether they're good or bad. Positive or negative, or somewhere in between. I believe we give life to those words. But I did read some very interesting articles about the subject matter. And so I always like to explore the flip side of it and look at, you know, alternative reasons why a married couple might have a separate account. And so these are some of the things that I discovered that may be some benefits of a separate account for husband and wives to consider. But this is mutually agreeing, both parties knowing about the...
Yes, you're not hiding it from each other.
Right, the separate account. And so let's look at some pros and cons to why it's a good thing to have joint accounts and maybe why it's not good to have joint accounts, you know, and I want to say this, the question of having a joint account isn't limited to just married couples. A lot of times parents, I remember when the boys were teenagers, I was on their accounts when they were working to monitor their spending and to kind of teach them how to manage, having an account and things like that. So, you know, there's lots of people that do joint accounts, but let's get back to talking about why joint accounts promote, why joint accounts. Number one, they promote trust and transparency.
That's the best. That's a must in any marriage.
Yeah.
Trust and transparency. And you got to start with the finances.
Right. Because that's one of the things that rocks and breaks a lot of marriages is those finances. And so especially if you have, and let's go back to temperament, you know, people spending and how they handle money deals a lot with their temperament. I'm a sanguine. So, you know, I've had to learn to control my spending and to control my spontaneous, you know, wanting to take trips and go shopping and do things like that. Because when it comes to finances, you know, because of our temperament and our person, we like to have fun. We like to be spontaneous and just, you know, have a good time. And so, and with your temperament,
I'm just very frugal with money. My wife says I'm stingy, but I just call it frugal.
Well, you've gotten better over the years. Now, when I first started dating you, like you was tight. You
like
was
she says,
stingy.
Tight, stingy. I just say frugal.
Yeah. No, you was tight with that money. But you know what? I've learned a lot of good things could relate to finances from you, from watching you, from being married to you. When we got married, I had probably every credit card there was known to mankind, the limited, every clothing, the limited dress, barn, you name it. I had every jewelry credit card. And so just watching you and seeing how you didn't have, you know, a lot of credit cards, you didn't have a lot of debt, that motivated and inspired me to pay those cards off and to follow your lead with, if you can't pay for it, you know, and we're not talking about like a house or car or things that you typically don't pay cash for, you know, unless you're a millionaire, be, you know, very well off. But just stuff like, you know, clothes, shoes, different things, like not necessities, not things that I need, right?
That I call that eye candy stuff.
Eye candy stuff. So having a joint account promotes trust and transparency. All right. Joint checking accounts offer a clear financial picture. So there's no doubt about where we are, what we have, what we can and cannot do. For me, it kind of takes the pressure off, because if I don't have eyes on the account and I'm thinking we're in one place and then I have expectations for this big trip or, you know, something and it's not there, then it gives me this unclear picture of what we have and where we really are, which allows me to have these unrealistic expectations.
True. I call it both parties got to have the same vision.
Yeah.
You got to be tracking along the same lines as far as the financial picture and where you're starting at and where you're trying to get to.
Yeah. I remember watching a reality TV show. I won't call the name of it. But the wife in the TV show wanted a pool. And she was like, oh, my husband can get this pool for me. You know, we have plenty of money. But when they were showing him on the TV show, he was broke. He owed millions of dollars to some folks. He was looking to have to sell some things. So again, that joint account gives that clear financial picture. Because she thought they were in one place that they weren't. Joint checking accounts make it easy to plan and pay for expenses. I know with you being in the military and oftentimes you being deployed, like for long periods of time, like when you were gone to Afghanistan and Bosnia. So having access to the account, it made it easier for me having to take care of bills and pay expenses and things like that. So
yes, it does. The account, joint account, it makes it easier, especially with, like she was saying, with me being in the military, I was gone. I had to turn all that over to her and say, hey, handle it. You have to take care of this for the next certain amount of time, whether it was 6 months, a month or a year. It was her ball.
Yeah, because you know, even if you say, well, I'm not married to somebody that's in the military, or but if a spouse becomes ill, you know, we never know what the next second or minute of life is going to bring. And so if one of your spouse becomes ill or injured, and they may be unable to pull out money to pay bills and things like that, if the other spouse is on the account, they can take care of the bills and expenses and things that need to happen. All right. Okay. So let's look at some cons of opening a joint account. So separate checking accounts promote autonomy. What does autonomy mean? So some people balk at combining their assets with another person, even somebody that they love deeply. Because when two people get married after establishing their own separate careers and building up their own financial assets, the transition to a joint checking account might seem rapid and unnatural. You know, it's kind of hard to let go of that autonomy, that one, you being the sole person that's in control. Now, this is where, and again, I'm not saying that people should have separate accounts that they hide from their spouse, right? But I have known women who, you know, they did it the right way. They went to college. They had good careers. They had their own homes. They had nice saving accounts. And they met some guy and got married, and he didn't have nothing. And they ended up losing. What are you laughing for? I'm serious.
You just got to know who you're getting involved with. That's what.
Okay. That's what, but sometimes y'all, you know, sometimes these jokers real smooth, and you think that's why, you know, I believe in premarital counseling, and I go look this up in the Bible. It talks about the Queen of Sheba, and the Queen of Sheba went to check out the king. She went to check out the king, and when she came, she was very wealthy and very rich, and she had all of these riches and wealth and gifts that she wanted to give to him. But it says that she came, and before she would release her goods, hear what I'm saying, ladies. This is for all the single ladies right here. Before the Queen of Sheba would release her goods, before she would give up her stuff, okay? They said she had to check everything out. She had to check the servants out, the maids out, how the house looked. So you have to ask the hard questions before you say I do. What's your credit score, sir? Can I see your credit score? And I mean, I know somebody's out there saying, really? Come on. Who's going to ask somebody for their credit score? Well, you better. If you got a nice bank account and you have investment properties, talking to men and women, and you're doing good, you know, all by yourself, you need to know who you're connecting yourself to. You know, do you have any children? How many do you have? Do you pay child support? How much child support do you pay? You know, what do you have a bank account? How much money do you have in your bank account? You got to ask the hard questions, Sterling.
That's true. I understand that. But like I said, it just leads up. You just got to know who you're getting involved with. And there's telltale signs out there. And don't be naive to the telltale signs. If he or she is doing something devious, it'll show. And once you see it, don't say, nah, I can't believe that. Believe it. It's happening, and it's happening for a reason, because you're going to let it happen. Because he thinks or she thinks in their mind that you're going to let it happen. So nip it in the bud early.
Yeah, but Maya Angelou said, when people show you who they are, believe it. But you've got to ask the hard questions. You've got to ask these hard questions, because you need to know who you're getting involved with.
You're just protecting your investment.
All right. So separate checking accounts. It can also mean that money may be touched by others. So separate accounts allow each partner to retain their financial independence and spend or save how they want. That in turn may lead to more harmony in marriage if each spouse doesn't feel as if he or she has to justify spending habits. And so, you know, you and I have a joint account, and then I have an account. And, you know, I have this account, you know, I have the account, you can look at my account, you can see what's in there. And so it's just kind of like where I put funds to take care of things like my hair, my nails, my, you know, my little shopping stuff, little family things, you know, my mother's life insurance policy, things like that. So I'm not opposed to a separate account for either spouse to have four things like that.
It makes sense. I mean, that's constructive things. Those are positive things that you're doing with this additional account. And if the spouse knows about it, it's not secret. I mean, you're not hiding anything from him. He knows what's going on and what you're actually doing with that account.
Right. Separate checking accounts offer less ammunition for money battles. So keeping money separate also avoids a scenario in which a marriage goes bad and one spouse cleans out a savings account, leaving their partner with nothing. So putting money in separate accounts can also be useful if one spouse has considerable debt. Money from a joint account could be garnished, but the spouse without debt can keep their money out of creditors' hands by leaving it in his or her name alone. So this goes back to what I was saying about knowing some women who got married to some men who had a lot of debt, who owed the IRS, they had back taxes, and guess what? My friend went to her account and money was being garnished, and she's calling trying to figure out why is this money coming out of my account, and come to find out, you know, this is because of debts from her husband prior to them being married. So this is another reason why I could see the justification for having a separate account where so that your monies will not be garnished in the event, you know, your spouse has a lot of debt or creditors or, you know, calling and garnishing checks.
It makes sense. I mean, it's really not too much to say on that, because if he has it and he created it, hey, let him or her have to deal with it.
Yeah. I just want to say also that, you know, having separate accounts doesn't mean that spouses should never talk about money. You know, we have to talk about money. You and I talk about vacation plans. You know, we have a vacation account. You know, we talk about, you know, when it comes time to birthdays and blessing people and things of that nature. So don't think that having a separate account means that you never talk about money with one another. Yeah. Yep. So any other final thoughts you have on that before we shut it down?
That summed it up very well.
Yeah.
The word separate just sounds.
Yeah.
When you say separate, it seems like you're going your own individuality. You're going your own way. You're doing something that. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, because the Bible says the two become one. And so what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. But again, I do understand there may be certain circumstances. Again, your spouse is in debt. Their pay is being garnished. Their wages are being garnished. It's a way to protect your money. You know, you have an account where you just take care of miscellaneous things. Women like to pamper ourselves, you know, nails, toenails, fingernails, hair, you know, those are things that, you know, we like to keep ourselves up. And so at the end of the day, you know, couples have to make a decision what works best for their marriage. And so I'm not saying I'm against separate accounts, but what I'm saying is I'm against separate accounts that are hidden and secret and where you're taking money from your spouse without his or her knowledge, and you're putting that money into this unknown, hidden, secret account. You are headed for
failure.
Yeah.
Just try to stay away from that.
Yeah, because it's hard. It's hard to bounce back once you lose trust in anyone. It's kind of hard to bounce back once you lose trust and faith in people, but particularly in a marriage. you know, once that bond of trust is broken, it's hard to bounce back. It's possible, because with God, all things are possible. But why even put yourself in that situation? Why create that type of, you know, drama?
My wife said a key word there, create. You're creating drama. You're bringing a problem to your marriage that really didn't have to be there. If you married as one, you are one. So this separate individuality thing is setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah. And be careful about, you know, we should be careful about the advice and counsel that we get from people, and listening to what people are telling us based on. And basically, they're speaking out of their own negative experiences most of the time, trauma from their life, hurt from their life, pain from their life. Situations that they've gone through. And so they're projecting that on you and the advice that they're giving you. So if you know that you're married to the person that God has put into your life, the Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The Bible says that a man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one. And he says, what God says, what he has joined together, let no man put asunder. So if that's your story, then stick to your story. Have faith, trust, and believe that you are going to have a long, happy, healthy, and successful marriage.
Roger.
And the church said,
amen.
Amen to that. Well, listen, we want to thank you for tuning in this week. Please share. Once again, we are so excited that we had established a goal of being in the top four shows on Bashani for the month of March. And we reached that goal, and we want to keep it going for the month of April. So please share in your networks, encourage people to tune in to Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta. They can go back and listen to some of the other shows. We love to hear from you. Please utilize the link to call in and leave messages. Please utilize the link to leave email comments. We want to hear from you. We're doing this because we want to make a difference in the lives of people. And we're going to end it with our marriage mantra. Stay tuned afterwards to hear about how you can follow us on social media. And our marriage mantra, it goes a little something like this.
The more you put in your marriage,
the more you're going to get out of your marriage.
Hey, bingo, winner, winner.
Until next week, take care.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.